Well, last time we were here, I didn't hear her tell you this, but her sister passed away in North Carolina, and we had to take a fast trip over there. But we were appreciative that we were able to leave here in such a hurry and make it over there in time. Hallelujah. Good to be with you again. Hallelujah. I've got a lot to share and a little time to share it in. I'm sure most of us are aware that there's a lot of movement going on in the political arena. But I'm not going to preach politics. I want you to know that God spoke to my heart and says the movement that's going on among the political arena is also going on among my people. So we're in a time of change. And God says that it's one of the greatest changes that this earth has ever seen. Because the kingdoms of this world are coming down. And how many of you know that each one of us individually are a kingdom?
That's right.
And so God starts with this house. I think somewhere it says judgment begins in the house of God. And so in this house, judgment comes for what but one reason, and that is to bring separation from that which hinders, that he might enhance that which ushers in. And I know we're all aware that we've been called and chosen for a purpose. If we're not, we should be. That we've been called and chosen for a purpose. And so when we come together, regardless of who might be doing the ministering or whatever the occasion might be, it's for purpose. And so as I was waiting on the Lord for this trip about coming here, God spoke to me a few things that he wants to share with this people as well as people all over the world. Because this movement is affecting the Christian, what I call the Christian community. And God wants us to know that the corruption that has destroyed the true Christian community in the earth is getting ready to come down. And that means that there's a people that's getting ready to appear. And I don't like using that word, getting ready, because there are people that are even now beginning to appear. And such as God spoke and is moving among him, his people in many places, he desires to bring this place into a higher realm in him that you have not walked before. And I want you to love me when I share a few items with you tonight, because it's not judgmental, it's not condemning, but it is that which God spoke to my heart. And when I speak it, you can judge it. But God says, you tell the people in wings that I'm going to move them out of their comfort zone. I know that the scripture talks to us about coming into his rest. But a lot of times we as Christians don't understand the fullness of what God says when he says something. And so we have purposely moved things around to enter into a type of counterfeit rest that's not really the rest that God says, I want you to move into. And in order to come into that rest, he is saying unto us, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone, because the comfort zone is not the rest that God's talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. And we work all of our life for comfort. Most of us do everything within our power to bring comfortable home life to our families, to our children. Hallelujah. And most of us are aware that my dad wanted me to be successful even more so than he was. Well, I've got a son and daughter, and I have the same feelings for them. I want them to be blessed more than I have been blessed. But the Father in heaven, so to speak, wants more blessings upon us than even the firstborn son. Because he's the one that said, greater things than these shall ye do, because I'm going to be with my Father. And then he turned around and said, friends, where I am, there ye may be also. So where is our dwelling place? Where is our dwelling place? It's seated on the right hand of the Father, where the firstborn son is seated. Where do we dwell? Hallelujah. God showed me a vision years ago. I think I shared it with Jim one day. And in this vision, there was a construction yard. And every construction yard that I've ever worked around or been around had a construction shack, what we call a construction shack. It was an office where you had all the blueprints and all of the laws and the et cetera, concerning the building project. And in this vision, all of those things were in their proper place. The proper people were there. And out in the yard, all of the supplies and the materials that was necessary to complete a project according to the blueprints that they had in the office. But suddenly, people begin to disappear. They begin to go their separate ways. And I noticed in the office, after years passed by, there was piles of dust upon everything. Out in the yard, all these materials, most of them were covered so completely with dust that you couldn't hardly tell what the material was. And so after a period of time, and if you've had visions, you know that this is just happening split second, but you know something, that a period of time went by, and suddenly the gate that was locked into that construction yard was opened, and somebody walked through that gate and headed for the office. And when he opened the door, the first thing you notice was dust laying everywhere. And you look at the blueprint table, and there upon the blueprint, it was so dusty you couldn't hardly tell what the blueprint was all about. But after that first vessel came through the door and went into the office, suddenly others begin to appear. Until after a short period of time, that yard, construction yard, was filled up with all kinds of laborers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it seems like out of nowhere, everything that was covered with dust was blown away. How many of you remember the scripture that tells us the glory of the latter house is greater than the former? What does that mean? What does it mean for us? When I look at this building here tonight, I see a beautiful building. It's been arranged for purpose and with purpose. God's people have been meeting here for years. But where's the upper room experience? And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues only. I'm talking about a presence. You know, if you read that scripture, the power of the Holy Spirit didn't just go within them, fill them, but it filled the whole room. The whole room was filled. It permeated the very atmosphere. And it affected those people so much. We know the story. The reputation they got is these people are drunk and it's only a certain time of the day. But the same vessel that denied him a few days earlier walked out of that upper room and began to minister a message. And it, in my history, my professor taught me in school that in 2-3.5 years, that upper room crowd turned the then known world upside down. And the Roman Empire a few years later was on the run because Jesus was present in the midst of a people. Hallelujah. And he was not only present within them, he was manifesting and ministering through them so that the people that heard Peter on that day of Pentecost was quickened by the power of the same Holy Spirit that hit that upper room, and it changed the very city that they dwell in. Excuse me for getting a little loud. Now, greater things than these shall ye do. And I want to minister to you tonight a little bit. And if I keep you for a long period of time, forgive me. But God wants to tell us something. And I'm going to read scriptures to you tonight that you're all familiar with. But I think the Lord has enabled me to put them in kind of a chronological order to bring forth an understanding that he wants to minister unto us tonight, maybe in a way together that he's never done it before. Hallelujah. Because you people are not called just to be pew sitters and to come to church once or twice a week. There's a higher calling. And my friends, God wants you and I to know that that higher calling is not where you come. It's not the church you belong to. It's not where you pay your tithes. Friends, a higher calling that God's talking about is being something. Hallelujah. And what God's talking about is a people whose very presence changes the environment wherever they put their foot. Hallelujah. Are you with me? This is where God says, all right, I'm getting ready, or I am even now gathering a people together for such a cause as this. And I've often shared with my wife, I guess I'll use it again. I've preached it in other places, maybe even here last time, that we can go to Walmart, and just because we're there, walking down the aisle, and I know this is an outlandish example, but people on either aisle, on either side of us, just start falling out in the spirit. Why? Because we're there. We're changing the environment. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like the environment of this world. I don't like it. I don't know what, I don't like what it's doing. I don't know what, don't like where it's been. Hallelujah. Hello, ladies. I want you guys to greet Carolyn and Karen from Tennessee. They come up to be with us this weekend, and I want you to greet them and make them feel at home. Hallelujah. Franklin, Tennessee. Praise God. It's good to see you, ladies. Now, where was I at? Walking down Walmart, aisle in Walmart. Hallelujah. And people falling out on both sides. Why? Because we're there. So it's not where we go and it's not what we do. It's who we are. And if God is assembling together during this hour, his kings and priests, he's assembling them together for a purpose. Hallelujah. And what we need to do is remove from our vocabulary that God's a God of the future. Amen. God wants us to begin to understand that he's a God of the now. And from the moment he died on that cross, on Golgotha's hill, and he said, it is finished. Everything that he is, everything he was, and everything he's going to be was instantly available unto his people. Hallelujah. But the church has robbed us. It has robbed us of the truth that God is a God of the now. And because some preacher gets up and preaches his weaknesses and his falling short, everybody else thinks it's all right for them to fall short. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It's your fault, young man. Hallelujah. So I want to talk a little bit tonight about his kingdom of priests. And I've traveled this country from here to yonder and from post pillar to pillar, and I've seen them come and go. Hallelujah. But this one's still here. Wonder why. Wonder why. Hallelujah. Are you willing to be what God wants you to be? Now, I want to make it clear that if I was to come back and tell this young brother right here that you're a prophet, that we're not talking about him getting up tonight and going out and trying to act like a prophet. That's not what we're talking about. This brother here is an apostle. We don't want him to go out and act like he thinks an apostle should act. But what we want to understand, when God releases a word, that word is something that is self-sufficient. It's also able to birth that which it speaks. You understand? And doesn't the scripture say something about a nation shall be born when? In a day. So if God speaks to us tonight and gives us some simple scriptures to read, can we not say, that's talking about me? Hallelujah. Now, years ago, there was somebody come by and prophesied to me. Said, you got healing in your hands. Well, you know what? You know what I did? Went around praying for everybody. You know what happened? I was lucky if anything happened. Are you guys following me? But if God spoke to me and said, you've got healing in your hands, then it's there. But it's not independent. Are you following me? But it's something that God is through a people. Now, let's see, God's gathering then a people. And if he's gathering a people, his purpose is that they are to be that people now. Okay? Not now. Not after you go to 8 years of Bible college. Not after you sit on the pew for 20 years. Hoping one day you can be an usher. But it's now. Now, this is what God's after. Now, do you understand a little bit then what God's saying when he said you got to move from your comfort zone and enter into something else? Okay, I want you to turn with me. And I've got all these scriptures wrote out where I won't have to try to flip through my pages. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 9 through 10. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and I want us to understand that these two scriptures here are in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. It's known as the love chapter. So this scripture, these two verses right here, is spoken under the auspices of God's love. Okay? So this is what it says. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But that which in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, when I read that scripture, the first thing I want to concentrate on is not the in part. I know I'm in part. I don't have to concentrate on it. But I want to concentrate on when that which is perfect is come. I want to find out what is God saying and when is that perfect going to make an appearance. Okay? And so with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to try to broaden this thing out so we can begin to see that which is perfect is among us. And if it's among us, then that which is anything to do with in part, to me, that's talking about lukewarm. Right? That's talking about knowing a little bit of this and not knowing a little bit of that. Is that not right? So when that which is perfect is come, and if perfection has already, perfect has already come, then something's going to be done away with. What has been hindering us? The hindrance is we're in part. Are you with me, brother?
I'm with you all the
time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So do you and I want to be more than in part? You know, I know that there's a cry that ascends from our hearts. That is that we might come into a full measure of that which God has spoken unto us. And I believe that most of us have probably received the word of the Lord in one fashion, form, or another that excited our spirits and caused us to know that that's really what I want to be. But when we look at our lives and that which we manifest, we seemingly always fall short. But God wants us to know that there's a state of perfection and an environment of perfection that we can walk in. Hallelujah. Know in this scripture, we know in part, in this scripture means by experience. By experience, we're in part. Okay? Then that word in part means we, by experience, from God. In part or from God, we're in part. Okay? But that which is perfect means that which has reached its end and has been initiated. Hallelujah. Now tomorrow morning we want to teach a little bit on taking dominion. Okay? So I want all of you to be back. Because we're going to take dominion. Okay? And done away with means brought to naught. So the end part is going to be brought to naught because, pardon? Because the perfect is present. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's a perfect presence in our midst. And as we walk in that perfect presence, then the in part don't dare to appear. Okay? Why is it that 15 men can be sick lined up along the street and they're bypassed? Except for one. Why is that? If God has all power, why isn't all 15 of them healed? Think on that a minute. I might have to start carrying my notebook with me. Hallelujah. I had a young man up in somewhere up in Illinois, Mohammed, Illinois, I think it was, says, "You're the first preacher I've ever seen that carried a notebook to preach from." It's good to see you girls. Hallelujah. I said, whatever works. Whatever works. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But ye, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And this is probably some of our favorite scriptures. That ye should show forth the praises, and I want to throw this out to you right now. If you go look up that word praises, you'd find out it means virtue. So he's talking about a peculiar people that show forth his virtue. That's more than open our mouth and singing. Hallelujah. Isn't it? Hallelujah. What's virtue? Hallelujah. Virtue speaks to me of the characteristics of a certain nature that dwells within. Okay? So, by his virtue of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Now, God's not talking about us being spiritual Jews alone. Are you with me? But what God's talking about is I'm your God and you're my people because we have the same nature. Okay? Same nature. Now, I asked somebody here the other day, I might have done this here once before when I asked you what makes a chick rooster crow. Nobody here ever has to teach a rooster how to crow. Right? Remember me saying that once before here? Why does a rooster crow? Because he's got that nature.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. You ever teach your little doggy how to bark? No. When he gets old enough to bark, which it doesn't take very many days, he just starts barking. Now, why do we think we can imitate Christ? So his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people. That means your praises or your virtue is shining forth. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's your nature.
Yes, amen.
It's your nature. Now, I don't read anywhere in this that says 2,000 years after Jesus died, his virtue is going to start coming forth through you. I don't read that in here, do you? When was it available? In times past, we were a people, but now we're the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now we obtain mercy. Mercy and grace, brother. Hallelujah. Mercy and grace has always been. But mercy and grace never been taken advantage of. Right? Praise God. Now, I'm ministering to you folks not like you're a bunch of young babies. Okay? You're not babies. You are a people that's, hallelujah. I'm going to stop and do something here. And again, I don't criticize, don't want to embarrass, not condemning or nothing. But the other day, I was sitting there, Marge, and God brought you before me just like that. And the Lord began to show me a vision. And I seen Marge in this area, and it was an unlimited area. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just all kinds of goodness was there. And suddenly she was enjoying it all. And suddenly behind her was a door. And Marge, I seen you move from out of all that place and opened the door and walked in. Now, here was unlimitedness. But when she walked in and closed the door, there was some glory there. But it was walled in. Are you with me? And so, because it was walled in, that which had been available unto her seemingly had been removed from her. Are you with me? Because she went through that door. Hallelujah. And when I finish this, you're going to rejoice. And many times while in that room, she looked back at that door. But for some reason, she kept staying in this room. Hallelujah. Now, there was a light that was in her that wasn't as great as the light that was shining outside. Okay, but it was there. Hallelujah. And suddenly, and I like this word suddenly, she turned and looked at that door. She says, I'm leaving this place and going back through that door. And when she went through that door, for lack of a better word, she exploded with light. Now, Marge, I don't know if she knows it or not, I imagine she does, is one of the apples in God's eye. And He has observed her and watched her all these years, knowing that He had called her for a purpose. And this purpose has never been removed. But God in His mercy allowed us to go through the door of our choosing. Are you with me? And so we go through that door. And we do whatever we do behind that door. But it's always available to come back and explode into the glory of God. Now, God's gathering a people. He's assembling a group of kings and priests. That speaks more of just position. It speaks of authority. Authority. Hallelujah. And when I seen Marge burst open everything she's ever desired in God, was there. Unlimitedness. Oh, hallelujah. It almost makes you want to grab a hold of her shirt tail and say, come on, Marge, let's go through the door. But what God is saying unto us, there's a door. There's a door, Jim. There's a door, Oscar, that we can go back through. Because somewhere we got sidetracked. I don't know if it's philosophy, theology, false doctrine, tradition, or whatever it might be. The Christian community has been sidetracked. But God is saying, go back through the door. Go back through the door. Just like He said, He's the door. Hallelujah. Now, God has a purpose for this people. He has called you and gathered you together unto this place for cause. And whether you've been here for a week or for 50 years, that purpose has never changed. I'm not one that believes a whole lot in accident. You're not here by accident. There's a reason and a purpose that God has gathered us together at such a time as this. Now, I'm talking about more than just a little group what state we in? Ohio. Okay? Because I'm down in Texas, and many times I wished I could move from Texas, and God won't let me. So He has us in certain geographical locations for a purpose. then he gives us the opportunity to come together. On the way up here, Jim, I says, why in the world do you have to bring somebody way up out of Texas into Ohio if you want to speak to those people? Hallelujah. Oscar's here. This brother here's here. Any one of you can stand up and speak the word of God. But God has a purpose that's greater than our purpose. Are you with me? We don't know what all he might be doing here tonight and tomorrow morning, but there's a purpose in it. And it's a greater purpose. Now, hallelujah, let's go through the door. Are you willing to become God's fullness? Or are you wanting to maintain your comfort zone? Okay, where am I at? Revelations 1, 5 and 6. Revelations 1, chapter, or verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, he hath what? Made us something. Kings and priests unto God and the Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Now, where's the time zone spoken of here? Is there anything here that limits us from being that now in that scripture? No, God simply makes a statement. And that statement is an eternal statement. And it's true today just as much as it will be 10 years from now. But the question is, are we going to walk in it today? Or are we going to wait 10 more years? Are you willing to become God's fullness? Okay? Now, if God, well, I won't get into that right now. Hallelujah. So kings and priests mean something. It's not position, but it's becoming ones with a kingly nature. I don't know how to act like a king. Never been in a king's house. Never studied about them, the intricate parts of them. But I got a nature of a king. But I've also been birthed with the nature of E.A. and Donna Bell Stewart. One's just as true as the other. And to act like an old Pentecostal preacher, which one are you allowing to manifest through you? Okay? Hallelujah. Which one is manifesting through you and I? John, verse 4. Now, so if we're satisfied with the scripture, as we've read tonight, is telling us we're kings and priests now. Okay? That means that we are kings and priests. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, this life that's spoken of here has a meaning. And it speaks of the fountain of life. It speaks in light of manifestation or manifesting, obtaining or obtained, present tense, possessed, sustained, ministered, abounding, and resurrection. Now, we can divide that and say, I want this, this, or this, and not the others. or we can believe what it means when he says life. Okay, I want to say it again. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. In other words, it enlightens us or takes us out of darkness into light. And the darkness doesn't comprehend it. But the Spirit takes it and makes it alive. And makes it real. And enables us to be what God says that we are. Now, when did you receive that life? I can remember the time, the year. Hallelujah. After being called of God when I was 12 years old, I run from Him for over 12 years, all over the world trying to escape. But one day in 1964, God manipulated me into going into this little church building. And I mean manipulated me. Do you want to hear the story? My sister's husband died. She was a few years younger than me. And her husband worked on oil rigs on the California coastline. And one day he's working on a rig, and he went over and bent over the rig. Well, it exploded. And he drowned because that gas went into his lungs and they filled up with water. And he drowned, and so she had about a six-month-old baby with no husband. No daddy for the child. So she began to flounder around for a period, and I was just an old Navy man running to and fro doing my own thing. And I know it was God, but He spoke to me. He said, I want you to go rent an apartment and have your sister come up here and live with you and help take care of that baby. So I did that. And she moved up to Napa, California, where I was. And so after about 2 weeks, every Sunday morning, I was turning on my favorite TV show, Ball Game. Little boy was crawling around on the carpet there in the living room, little old 2x4 apartment. My sister was in doing whatever she did on Sunday mornings. And one day, my heart broke. I don't know why, but my heart broke. And I looked at that little child crawling around on the floor, and a voice spoke to me and said, you need to get him in church. Well, I didn't resist that too long, and so I talked to my sister. I said, we need to take that boy to church. Well, she agreed, and we took him to church. In 2 weeks, I was at the altar. My little nephew and my sister in 2 weeks was gone. They were there just for a purpose. Are you with me? Praise God. So there's life. God has life in you, and it's a life that is resurrection life. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you agree with me if I say that there's available unto us two worlds? And one of those worlds, life, and the other one's death. Is that not right? That's the two worlds. Now, what world do we live in? If both of them's available now, what world do we live in? Hallelujah. Well, I looked in the mirror this morning, and I'm not 30 years old anymore. Not 50 anymore. And I'll stop right there. Because death still works on me. That speaks to me that I respond to an end part order. Are you with me? Now, you might think I'm getting a little outlandish, but there's an order of life where there is no death. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, what life do you want? You know, in an in-part realm that comes out of the realm of death, hallelujah, there's healing there. God, there's a scripture over in Hosea says that he'll bind up your wounds, or Zechariah, he'll bind up your wounds. He'll put oil on your sores. He'll take care of you. But then he said, I'm going to do that for 2 days, by the way. Take care of you like a bunch of children for 2 days. But then he said on the third day, something's going to change. When were we going to live? In his sight. He said, on the third day, I'm going to raise you up. And you'll live in my sight. I'll be your God and you'll be my people. What day are we living in? So if I preach a message about coming into the resurrection power of God now, manifesting spirit, soul, and body, am I reaching out into the to space somewhere trying to grab something that's not there? Or am I ministering what the Word of God says? Okay, then, let's go on. In Him is life. What time do you guys usually quit? When I get through? Did you bring a sandwich? Hallelujah. In fact, I'm going to read that scripture to you over in Hosea 6, chapter verse 1 and 2. Let me read it to you, show you that it's scripture. Okay? And that's what we want to understand. Time is important. Time is important, especially when you consider what time is it. Okay? Okay, Hosea 6, 1 and 2 says, come, let us return to the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live in his sight. What time is it? It's a third day. So, if life has been made available, we need to consider it to be in the now or in the sweet by and by. It's a shame. It's such a crying shame that about 100 or 200 years after the upper room crowd, the church began to minister heaven afar off. And the church from that day to this has been doing everything it could to get to heaven when heaven's been here all the time. Hallelujah. What a shame. And most of these churches on street corners, even though they've got young people leaving by the multitudes, those that are staying, mom and dad, is doing everything they can in their power to keep those kids in that prison house. Are you with me?
Yes, amen.
When God is at this moment saying, I'm going to bring forth a man, and just his presence is going to bring down those kingdoms. What man is he talking about? Has many names. Sons of God. First Fruits Company. Man Child. Priests and Kings. The Body of Christ. Hallelujah. But that man's now making an appearance. The in part is passing away. Hallelujah. There's a flow. There's a flow going through us. Our midst tonight, from out of our innermost being. Something's flowing. And if we reach out to the fruit on either side of the river, there's healing for this nation. Hallelujah. For this nation. Hallelujah. So wherever I put my foot, I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. Let's start walking. Let's get out of our comfort zone. Let's spend enough time before God and in His Word that we'll know when He speaks and what direction He's leading us. Hallelujah. If all you do is come here two or three times a week, friends, you're missing the best that God has to offer. Because God has said unto this people and to a people all over the world, here I am. And He's also saying, like that one person that come to Him, what would you have me do? Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Turn to John chapter 19. Verse 30, we're familiar with all these scriptures. This says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. What does that mean to you? That means it's completely done, 100%. Nothing has to be added, and nothing can be taken away of. Now, all you and I have to do is agree with it. Not verbally alone, but mentally. Mentally. Now, what plays with your mind? Hallelujah. I know a lot of people can't sleep at night. Why? Because their mind won't shut down. Now, why? Because there's thousands of thoughts going through that mind. It's keeping them awake. Hallelujah. And I've tried this from experience. If I take my mind off all those thousands of things and I put them on the throne room, my wife can tell you, I'm asleep in 5 minutes. Isn't that right, babe? I know it works. Hallelujah. Some of the points I'm making might not be the best, but it's where I'm at. Okay, I want to read Zechariah. When He said it is finished, we must consider, what season are we in? What season are we in right now? As I told you earlier, what's happening in the political arena in Washington, D.C. is doing what? It's uncovering all the corruption that has existed in the political arena. And He's not finished yet. Hallelujah. He's going to keep going until it's all uncovered. And when I begin to consider that here a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, God says, that's a mirror of the church. Are you hearing me? Judgment begins where? House of the Lord. That's not these churches on every street corner, is it? It's His temple. Right? Okay. That's a mirror of the corruption that's existed in these houses. Hallelujah. And it's all coming unglued. Believe you me, He needs our prayers. Not that He might get saved, but He'll just let God use him for His purpose. I don't believe that man knew when he was born, whenever he was born back in the early 50s, I guess, that he even knew what he was going to be. God did. You think this all happened by accident? You think Obama was put in there by accident? No. Maybe man had a little bit to do with it, like he did when Saul was elected king. The only reason he's put in as king is because they refused to let God rule over them. What's this country done? We don't want God anymore. My wife's a teacher, and she can tell you that they don't want God in the system anymore. She's no longer a teacher, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Zechariah. Hallelujah. Zechariah, I'm never going to get through. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 13 through chapter 3, verse 3. It's a long scripture, but I want to read it anyhow. Let's see what Zechariah says. Hallelujah. We must consider our season. Now listen. Be silent, O all flesh. Have you ever spoke to your flesh to shut up? Hallelujah. Many times. Driving down a road with my mind on the Lord, suddenly the flesh starts talking. And you got to tell it to shut up. Otherwise, it gets louder and louder and louder. Okay? Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord. For he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Where is his holy habitation? Hallelujah. So he's raised up. He's raised up. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. So we've always got that old resistor on our side, don't we? Or on the side of us. And where am I at? And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Clothed with filthy garments. Now I want you to know, in the context of this scripture, what season is it? Now, as long as this old flesh man in its carnality stands before you, it is covered with filthy garments. Are you with me? Okay. Joshua, a high priest, was standing before the Lord, and he was clothed with filthy garments. But it doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. What season are we in? Are you ready for change? Have you not heard God speak to you again and again? Time of change is upon us. The movements in heaven are quickening and accelerating so much that it's beginning to affect the earth in a new way. And you and I, as God's people, are being caught up in this acceleration. And as we find ourselves yielding to God, when we wake up in the morning, we just might not be what we are today. Hallelujah. Because it's moving so fast. It's moving so fast. And I thank God I found this scripture one day in the Bible. God says, I don't look at the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. What condition is your heart in? I may make many mistakes every day, but I've got a heart that's turned towards God. And God's what I want. God's what I'm after. And I press towards the mark. A prize that's set before me. And that prize is that I might put on immortality and incorruption. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, verses 2 through 4. In that day, the day that he's talking about is after judgment, and now that restoration is on us. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. Now, where's the branch? Hallelujah. Where's it come from? Hallelujah. But out of the temple. Okay? Praise God. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent. Now, I want to give you a description of the fruit of the earth. It's not talking about an apple tree. Okay, what fruit is it talking about? Hallelujah. Man was made from the dust of the earth, right? From that dust, it produces fruit. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. So from the earth, fruit is brought forth, right? So the fruit that it's talking about is the body of Christ. From here. The sons of God. From here. Hallelujah. Now you folks don't have any place to go tomorrow except here. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Some of you might, but anyhow. So from the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Hallelujah. And I don't want to get into preaching about Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, God's dwelling place in man, and he that remains in Jerusalem, which is commonly called the bride of Christ, okay, shall be called holy. Hallelujah. And the bride of Christ shall be what? Without spot or blemish. Okay? Everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, hallelujah, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Okay, there's a burning or a purifying going on. Now, there's a few words in here I want to give definitions to, okay? When we talk about the fruit of the earth, again, I want to say that's speaking about the body of Christ, the sons of God, the first fruits, the man child, etc., okay? That's the fruit of the earth. That's what's coming in. Jesus came, died on a cross, became a seed that was planted into this earth, and it's going to bring forth after its own kind. Is that not right? Hallelujah. So there's a season for it to lay in fallow in the ground. Then there's a season when the stalk begins to appear. Hallelujah. And then there's also a season when the fruit begins to come forth. Okay, we're living in a season when we should do on the third day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you can put the third day off into a future if you want to. I don't choose to do that. Pardon me. Okay? I believe it's now. Okay, now, in that scripture up there, it says, them that have escaped of Israel. This is speaking of deliverance from the corruption of the sin nature. Deliverance, those that have escaped from Israel, is speaking of deliverance from corruption of the sin nature. Okay. From then it down there it says, is written among the living in Jerusalem. Among the living is speaking of those dwelling in the life of Christ. There's a people living in the life of Christ. Okay, and then the purge, of course, means cast out. The blood of Jerusalem. I want to give you a definition to that where it says, are purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof. The blood of Jerusalem is pointing to and ministering and speaking of the guilty mindset of the sin nature or carnality. So that's being purged from the bride. The blood is purging her. Oh, how, or the blood of Jerusalem, it's being purged from among the true church. And judgment and burning is speaking about that which is purified, as we said. So God's purifying a people. Hallelujah. Oh, that God would enable me. If He would enable me to just open up and share with the reality of where we are in Him.
Yes,
amen. Hallelujah. That we might see and behold the throne room of God. Hallelujah. And in that throne room, we have rights. It's called the rights of the family. Where because we're of His family, blood of His blood, and bone of His bone, we have certain rights. And those rights say that you have dominion. And to our hand has been given the mantle to take dominion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's turn to Zechariah, back to Zechariah chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. Zechariah 3, verses 4 through 5, speaking of the remnant. And he answered and spake unto those that stood by him, speaking of Joshua the high priest, saying, take away the filthy garments. Okay, now I want you to look in this scripture as I read it, if there's a time zone stated. Okay, not until the year 20,400. You don't find that in here, do we? Take away the filthy garments from him, and unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. And I will clothe thee with a change of remnant. Okay? And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments as the angel of the Lord stood by. I want to give you another definition of some words. Those that stood by is speaking about ministering spirits, okay? There's ministering spirits that are standing by. Not only in this tabernacle, but in the invisible tabernacles. Are you with me? So there's things going on around us. And that which is going on around us, hallelujah, are you with me? Is doing what is necessary to put on this brother a change of garments.
Amen, that's true.
On this brother a change of garments. Now, I spoke to you a few minutes ago about the activities and the movements in heaven are accelerating. They're accelerating us into the time of the changing of our garments. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So it says, take away the filthy garments, is speaking about the carnal nature and the sin nature being taken away. We all know what iniquity means. It means the crooked nature of perverseness. Okay, then it says change your raiment. That's clothed in righteousness. Now this righteousness is not acting righteous. It's being righteous. Because it's our nature. Big difference. Hallelujah. Just like there's a difference in we can pray or we can be praised. Prayer. My son, get on these rabbit trails, but my son, after years and years of rebelling against God, come to him about 4 years ago, had the experiences that brought him back. And he's been progressing spiritually ever since. And he called me the other morning, and he said, Dad, I had a strange experience throughout the night. And as he began, and I won't get into all the details of this experience, but what it was God was in his sleep, though he was awake, he was interceding. God would show him something, and he'd intercede, groan and birth something. Then God would show him the next thing, and this went on all night. He said, Dad, you know, I didn't get any sleep last night, but man, I sure feel good today. Hallelujah. Well, that makes an old dad feel good. Okay? So, where am I at? Isaiah 11, and I just got just a few more minutes, and we'll be through. Chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. I hope you're seeing the continuity of what God's showing us here. It says, and there shall come forth a rod. Now that rod should be interpreted sprout. There shall come forth a sprout out of the stem or the stump of Jesse. And a branch or a shoot, okay, shall grow up out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Okay? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. Now we all know God's number 7 speaks of completeness and perfection, do we not? And if we could understand that the time that of God that we're living in is the ending of the day of man, ushering in the day of God. We're living in that time right now. So the movements that's going on in the heavens, the movement that's going on in the heavens, okay, is bringing about a manifestation of completeness. Wherein the spirit, soul, and body shall be complete and made whole in him. That means we shall put on incorruption, and we shall put on immortality, and we shall go forth in the spirit without measure, John 3:34. We shall go forth in the spirit without measure, and we shall manifest the Christ in the earth. We shall bring forth deliverance unto creation. We shall cause change to hit this earth such as it's never known before. Now, all change is not necessarily good because it affects people in different ways. Some people are going to hate to see it come, and some people are going to love what God's doing. But it's going to cause such a separation and a dividing. I want you to, I want to ask you if you can agree with me to this fact. As I've been watching the political situation that's going on out of Washington, D.C., I'm beginning to see such a division that's going on among the populace of this country like I've never known it before. If that's a mirror of the church, Christian community, so to speak, what God is doing is separated. I've walked the streets of many a city, and I've heard people tell me, why should I go to church? They go to the same places I go. They do the same thing I do. There's no difference in them and in me. Well, we're getting ready to see a true Christian begin to walk. And the power and the presence of God is going to manifest so strong from that vessel that it's going to control the environment that he is in. And it's going to affect everything he comes in contact with, some good and some bad, but it's going to affect everything that we come in contact with. Just like the prophet Jeremiah, God said, I've commissioned you. I put a mantle upon you, and you're going to go forth and you're going to tear down. You're going to destroy, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, but you're going to plant and to build. And that's what this people's doing. Now, if you want to wait for 20 more years or two more dispensations for it to happen in you, I guess you have that right. You can choose, but if you believe what God's saying, it's not going to come, it's here. Hallelujah. Now, let me finish. It's just 8:20. 7:20 in Texas. John 17. Sevenfold spirit of completeness is flowing out of this people. Okay? John 17 verses 20 through 23. 22 verse through 23. Notice what it says. Jesus speaking. In the glory which thou givest me. Okay? I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made what? Perfect. When that which is perfect. Hallelujah. Then that in part is done away. Oh, I feel it. I feel a presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I've said for years to many places that I've gone that I hear a cry and a travail. I hear a cry and a travail. I walk the streets and this cry and travail is coming forth. As it's spoken of in the 8th chapter of Romans. Because the world don't know what it's crying for. It don't know what it's travailing for. But there's a cry and travail going on waiting for the manifestation of something. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now God is saying unto me, my presence is now with you. Now God's presence is always, ever since I went down to that altar in 64, God's presence has been there. But now, are you with me? A travail is turning to praise. A travail is turning to praise. Let me read 2 Peter. I think this is the last scripture. Hallelujah. 2 Peter. Yeah, it's the last one. Verse chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Notice what it says. There's no time period, no date. Established in this scripture either. according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain. This is not all things, but all things that pertain. I read you about a while ago what life meant. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. Okay, there's the kicker. There's the prerequisite. Coming unto the knowledge of him. Now, this knowledge is not what comes out of your so-called brain. Okay, we can all study and memorize. Might have told you before, when I was a pastor of a church down in Texas, there was a young man come out of Bible college, could quote scripture from memory like I've never heard before. Hallelujah. But I won't comment on the rest of that. Hallelujah. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. So this is the knowledge of the seed that's planted within us and is revealing himself unto us. That's why earlier I think I asked you, what do you see? What are you seeing? Whereby, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of what? Divine nature. Now that nature don't have to try to act like God. It just is. Is that not right? Hallelujah. So it seems to me if I yield to that nature, what's people going to see? I'm not trying to make myself God, don't get me wrong. Hallelujah. Having escaped something, the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's been our big problem all along. That's why we found ourselves a comfort zone. We go to church two or three times a week, but we're comfortable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys going to invite me back? Hallelujah. Might not have to come back. Hallelujah. Now I want to give you a definition of life and godliness. It also includes resurrection and eternal life. Okay? I also want to tell you what it means to have divine power. It's the power of reproducing itself. So it don't need your help. Don't need mine. It does what it does. It reproduces itself. We've got it within us. But what do? Just like Jesus told us not to do. Don't go out there and pull up the tares from the wheat, lest you destroy them both. Didn't he say that? And what do? We're out there trying to pull up weeds every day, and it's probably the wheat. And religion will do that to you. It'll do it to you. But religion don't know the difference between a wheat seed and a tare seed. Hallelujah. If I had time, I'd give you a definition of the tares. But all I'm going to do is to tell you right now, it's a blackish seed. And it produces obnoxious produce. Okay? So, God is separating. But he's just not separating. He's assembling. He's assembling. Now, if you're tuned into the courts of heaven, you're hearing a trumpet blow. And that trumpet is blowing, and this is what it's saying. Come up hither. And I'll show you some things. You know why we don't go out and do things? Because we don't see things. But you come up hither. I'm going to show you some things. Hallelujah. God loves us. His mercy and grace has been extended unto us, and we've abused it, misused it, kicked at it, thrown it away. Hallelujah. But God still loves us. Hallelujah. His mercy is working a work within us. His grace is being poured out in abundance.